Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano Show with you here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Check out their new Shower Sessions videos on YouTube. Go to youtube.com/progressive. Happy birthday, Lauryn Hill, who you hear there. You could sing her in the shower if you'd like. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. I like to call him the North American treasure. He is the head coach of the Toronto Raptors, Nick Nurse, joining us here on the Sedano Show. Nick, I got to be honest. I miss talking to you so much. I figured I had to get you on the show. How the hell have you been?
I'm pretty good. I miss you too, man. I miss you too. Good to connect with you. I'm doing good. How are you?
No doubt. I'm good. Family good. Everyone healthy, safe, and sound, hopefully?
Yep. All good, man. All good. We're doing fine.
Good. Good to hear. So I wanted to bring you on because obviously there's stuff going on around the league, and I always just feel like I wanted to reconnect with you, and your story is just so interesting. I've been telling my audience about what you are. I'm not even joking when I say you're a North American treasure, just based on the way you got to the NBA, let alone winning the championship. So let's start off with an easy one. How does one go from being a good college player, good college basketball player, that's on the path to becoming an accountant, to then becoming a player coach in England, of all places?
Well, good question. I went to Northern Iowa to play basketball. They had a really good accounting program there. I jumped in that and thought I'd, you know, when my playing days were over, I'd get a job and be an accountant. But as my basketball career was winding down, I think it was right before my senior year, I was like, holy smokes, I'm going to be done playing here pretty soon. And I kind of like this game a lot. I went and talked to my AD at the time. It was actually Bob Bowlesby, who's head of Big 12 now. He was the athletic director, and Eldon Miller was my coach. And I said, you guys, I know I'm really close to finishing up this accounting degree, but I think I want to coach. And Coach Miller said, sure, just hang around for another year and be one of my assistants and let's see what happens. And that was only about 30 years ago. So we've been able to stay employed as a coach since that time.
Now, I know that certainly there were challenges along the way. Look, you've told me stories about calls you've made, letters you've written to different people. Like how many calls, how many letters do you think it took to get you actual work in basketball? Like, if you had to put a number on it.
I don't know, really. I think, I kind of wanted to play again too. During that year I was an assistant at Northern Iowa. I had a team in Brazil contact me and want me to play kind of like immediately, in the spring or something. And I kind of started gearing up for that. And then it fell through. And then I said, geez, I'll see if I can go play. And this is kind of it's a long time ago, pre-internet and pre-everything else. And I just probably got about 10 or 15 addresses through random people, Japan, Australia, England, Germany, and just kind of sent out a packet of, a resume, I guess, and some newspaper clippings or whatever, and a cover letter that said, hey, I want to play or coach overseas. And a guy called me up and said, says here, you want to play or coach? How about both? I said, okay, sounds good. Let's do it. So I was on a plane a few days later to Derby, England.
Wow. And you get there, and so within days, you're there. Like, what was that like? Had you ever been overseas?
Yeah, we took one trip. We took one trip when I was about a junior, I think, at Northern Iowa. We did a Switzerland, France, Germany, 10 or 12-day trip, and played a few games over there in the summertime. I'd never been to Derby, England, and it was pretty interesting. I mean, it was, you go over, you land, the owner takes me to the pub and says to me, hey, I need you to score 25 a night. And I kind of say, I average like 10 points a game in college. It's not really my thing. I get the ball up the floor and start the offense for you if you want. But he goes, hey, you need to score. And, we had a game about 4 days after I got there. And kind of, I guess I realized what he was talking about. It was better to hoist a few more up than I was accustomed to. That was kind of fun. Gave myself the green light as a head coach and player. It was good.
So what challenges did that present, though? I would imagine there had to have been some, right, as you're a player and the coach.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's, this is probably going to sound, well, I don't know how it's going to sound. I'll tell you one of the first challenges. I remember being out there, playing and, playing hard and, trying to set an example of playing D and, if we run wind sprints, I'd try to win them and, shooting drills, I'd try to win them, whatever. But you get tired and you're still trying to, you're trying to catch your breath and then you're still having to give instructions and in between drills and all that kind of stuff. So getting used to talking with, when you're winded was one of the first challenges that we had.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah, that couldn't have been easy. Nick Nurse joining us here, world champion head coach for the Toronto Raptors. Nick, you're the only coach in the NBA that's been a head coach in the NCAA, the G League, and overseas. So I'm going to ask you just a series of questions about these experiences first, before we get into the current NBA and what you've got going on now. What part of that path, the G League, NCAA, or overseas, was the most humbling for you?
It was the overseas. It was the overseas, for sure. When I was a player coach there at Derby, this is the best story I can tell you. I remember our first game was down at a team called the London Docklands, and they were getting ready to announce the starting lineups, and this guy went out to kind of mid-court, and he had a mic, and the mic wasn't working, so he just set it down and shouted out the starting lineup with no mic or anything. So I kind of leaned over to the other American guy I was playing with, and I said, "Man, we've really hit the big time here, man." So that was probably it,
Okay, that's fair. Now, the next question may be the same answer because that was pretty interesting. But which one of those experiences, the NCAA, G League, or overseas, which one was the most interesting for you?
Oh, the overseas, for sure. It got interesting like the second time around for me. So I went to be a player coach at Derby. And then literally that next year, I got offered the head coaching job at Grandview University in Des Moines, Iowa, near where I'm from. So I only played for a year, and I started coaching. Went to the University of South Dakota to do a master's degree and be an assistant there. And then I went back to England. But I kind of regretted my first time around that I didn't get out and see more of Europe and things like that. And they did a bunch of breaks during the season. They used to break for a couple weeks for national team break and things like that. And I was determined the second time around to, jump on a plane or put my car on a boat and go over to Belgium or France or whatever, any break that I got. So I started getting out and seeing, just every place I could see. And as you can imagine, that was awesome. That was fun.
Yeah, for sure. And then last one on those three, experiences, which one was the most rewarding?
They're all great. I think it's hard to beat the D League experience, the G League. I think that was of all the places you coach, that's kind of got the most level playing field. Like almost every team's under the same circumstances. There's none of the guys are getting paid. It's not like you can go, buy a bunch of expensive players or any of that stuff. Everybody's kind of, playing under the exact same rules, and the games were great. The players were great, fun to coach. I think the experience there for those 6 years I was a head coach in the minor leagues was the most valuable, probably.
Nick Nurse, champion head coach of the Toronto Raptors, with us here on the Sedano Show. The G League experience, though, I mean, so many players in and out. You and I have talked about this off camera before. How much did that help you in your first season in Toronto, particularly with managing Kawhi in and out of the lineup?
Well, I think it helped a lot. I think it's hard to deal with. I think my first year in the D League with the Iowa Energy, it was something, you know, when you're rolling right along and four guys are gone and four new guys come in and you got a game in, you know, 24 hours or something, trying to manage all that, rebuild chemistry, redefine roles, teach as fast as you can, you know, all that stuff. I think it took a little bit to get used to, but once you get used to it, I always say you're kind of doing that, you know, about 10 times a year every season, and it kind of gets you ready for anything, you know, playing injured guys, missing guys. You know, we had guys in and out of the lineup as everybody does, but it really gets you kind of conditioned to it. And you just, you know, when the ball goes up, you got to figure out a way, no matter who's playing or who isn't, home or away, or 7 o'clock or 11 a.m. or whatever, all the scenarios you end up playing in the minors. So you kind of get conditioned to that.
Nick, how did you approach the team with that Kawhi situation, with the load management and him being in and out of the lineup? Because that, as you mentioned, in the G League, that's more traditional. Guys are in and out for a bunch of different reasons. But how did you approach it with the NBA squad with him?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, first of all, I didn't make a big deal out of it. I think that I tried to, you know, educate him a little bit, you know, and say, hey, the guy hasn't played in, you know, over a year or whatever it was. And to be honest with you, I was surprised he was where he was when we got him. I was probably anticipating it being a lot slower process of getting him ingrained in the team, but he was kind of, you know, ready from day one of training camp. And, you know, his first preseason game, we were like, okay, we know what we got here. This guy's pretty good. But we did, you know, we just educated him, told him, hey, this is a bit of a process that we're going to take, and we're playing the long game here. We want to, you know, slowly bring him in, manage the minutes, to manage the games, and make sure that not only him, but we're all firing on all cylinders late in the year.
You know, guys that I've talked to on your squad and guys on his current squad will say, you guys in the media don't know that he's actually way more engaging behind the scenes than he would ever let you guys know. What is he like as a dude?
Oh, he's a great dude, man. First of all, he's quiet, you know, obviously, you know, everybody knows that, but he's funny as well. You know, he's one of those guys that when he does land one, that it seems to have more impact because he's not trying to land them constantly. You know what I mean? Jokes seem to be pretty funny when he does throw them out there. But great to coach, you know, was always super engaged and you know, was nodding his head, you know, paying attention. He was always locked in. That was super enjoyable certainly from anybody, but for a guy of his caliber.
When he hit the shot against Philly, like, what's going through your mind? Like, does time stop there when he hits that shot that bounces like four times?
Yeah, I mean, it's always just relief. I think there's a lot of, you know, build up tension. It's a game seven. It's a playoff series that's been going on for a number of days. And when those things go in, like, all that tension and stress just kind of leaves your body from your head to your toes slowly. And you just feel pretty relieved and happy, certainly, that you get to live to go on to the next round. But yeah, that was a pretty cool moment.
Nick Nurse, champion head coach of the Toronto Raptors, with us here on the Sedano Show. Nick, in your career as a coach, you seem to love to experiment, try things out, right? Everyone made a huge deal about your box and one defense on Steph and just your adjustments constantly. What's something you've asked players to do at any level that they looked at you and they were like, this dude is nuts?
Oh, man. That's a long list of things. That's a long list of things. But I don't know. I think that you know, when I was at Rio Grande Valley, coaching the Vipers, the G League team for the Houston Rockets, you know, we were very experimental there. They encouraged it. They wanted to try lots of things. And I think, you know, originally it's pretty common knowledge now about, you know, the layups and the threes, that when we were, you know, I was trying to really enforce it. And this is back in, 8 or 9 years ago now, I guess, but some of the guys would, you know, just look. And we literally, when we walked on the practice floor, we'd never, ever let them shoot a non-paint two, not even warming up. Or once they crossed the line to practice, we'd never, ever let them shoot it. So there was a lot of head scratching and a lot of questionable looks shot my direction for a couple weeks around there. That's for sure.
I bet. Nick Nurse with us here. Nick, the year you won the championship, Danny Green, who's now with the Lakers, and Fred VanVleet, mm-hmm. who's still with your squad, both had real struggles during the playoffs, particularly from the outside. But yet, in some of the biggest moments, you trusted them. Like, Green told me a story not that long ago about you drawing up a play for him in Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals against Milwaukee. You guys were tied at 96, and you drew up a play for him. Like you said, it's coming to you, and he nailed it. Like, what goes into those kind of decisions?
Well, I remember that one. First of all, it's something you think that is going to be there. You know, I think Danny maybe hadn't hit a shot yet in the game, or he was, again, I don't know exactly, but one first, you know, pretty decent number probably. But it just felt like, hey, listen, I saw something here. We're going to run this action. I'm almost positive you're going to be wide open, you know, and I need you to stick it, you know, and you're going to stick it. So that's it, really, you know.
I mean, we always hear about buy-in, and those guys, you know, and your guys now still, obviously, they all buy in. And relationships, Nick, are hard in general, you know, particularly in pro sports. So you're a guy we always hear, man, Nick really knows his guys. How challenging is it to get buy-in and most of all, maintain it?
Well, I think that's kind of where a lot of it starts, right? You got to get some buy-in, and it really starts from like meeting one. You know, you start laying out your vision and the plan and the process of how you're going to get there, and then you know you take the floor and you start executing some of it. And obviously, if the guys are feeling comfortable in it and having some success, they're going to buy in. You know, that's just kind of a momentum thing that keeps on rolling. And you know, it's really all we try to do. We try to get them and use their strengths and limit their weaknesses, give them great game plans, make some adjustments if things aren't working, admit it when we're wrong, you know. We weren't right on that game plan, we'll change it quick. You know, what do you guys see? Have some feedback from them. You know, all those things kind of pile together, I would say.
Nick, as far as the latest that's going on now, there's obviously a lot of momentum towards playing the resumption of the season in Orlando at Walt Disney World. I would imagine, though, that would create some challenges for a number of teams, including yours, right? Like, what is the plan there? Would the preferred plan for you be to have your team just eventually all meet and go straight to Orlando and quarantine there or do whatever is necessary to get the season going again?
Yeah, I think that there's a number of plans that are still on the table, right? I don't, like you said, it sounds like we're going to Orlando. That's you know, single site that seems to be you know, talked about pretty heavily here in these last few days. You know, other than that, you know, where are we going to meet? What's going to happen? What's the training camp preseason? What kind of games are they going to play before they get to the eventual playoff? You know, I think is all still on, you know, many ideas still on the table. And I think that, you know, when they tell us what they are, we'll put an action plan together and get ready to attack it, you know.
What do you make of the possibility, because this has been floated out recently, of seeding 1 through 16? Would you like to see something like that?
I'm okay with that. You know, again, I think that two things I've been saying is, coaching a lot of scenarios and a lot of, you know, been in pool play and Olympics and World Cups and all that kind of stuff and just about every type of tournament format you can think of. And the other thing is, as you know, I coached the first about 20 years of my life in front of no fans, so I'm going to be pretty comfortable there. So I think we'll go in whatever way they set it up. We'll be happy to be playing, man. That's the main thing. Happy to be playing and give our best shot at it.
Not that this would affect you, but what do you make of a play-in tournament for the 7th and 8th seed?
I think it's interesting. I think all the scenarios that they're throwing out there, you know, have some merit to them. There's certainly, I think, people see some opportunity to try something different. I think on the other side of the fence, there'll be a lot of traditionalists there that'll say, you know, hey, it's got to be the eight teams and the East versus West and how it's always been and things like that. So, I don't know. I guess it's, I kind of ride right down the middle. I think I'm not going to be too upset with any format they come with. I'm going to be, again, excited to play and get ready to attack whatever they throw out there.
I think the one thing we've learned about you historically, even if people didn't know you here, is that you're malleable, Nurse. There's no question about that. You can adapt.
Well, I've been in a lot of situations, man. I've been all over the world, around the block a few times, and it makes you become a little bit more adaptable.
For sure. Nick Nurse, champion head coach of the Toronto Raptors, with us here on the Sedano Show. Hey, Nick, man, great catching up with you. Hopefully we will see you on the floor soon and maybe even in Orlando. So thanks again for taking the time. Stay safe and healthy, and hopefully we'll talk soon.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You got it. There he is. Nick Nurse, head coach of the Toronto Raptors, with us here on the Sedano Show. All right, coming up next, we're going to get you the latest update, all right? There is a situation brewing in the NBA, if you haven't heard. We'll get to that. Plus, Charles Barkley is the antidote for all our problems. I'll explain what that means coming up in a second. Stick around. Sedano, back in 2.5 minutes.